and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined by Matt again on our semi-regular, I've watched a movie drunk, watch How Can I Game It segment.
That would be me.
I quite like this this daily show and the ability to do segments that are separated out by quite a long space of time.
Well, it gives you a chance to get over the hangover, if nothing else.
It does. So, today, you've come home and you found 300 on the telly.
Yeah.
And you go, I want to game that.
This is Sparta!
Yeah, I was trying to block Jared Butler out because the man has the acting talent of a diseased rodent.
But he has a lovely beard in that film.
He does have a lovely beard and some very nice CGI muscles.
Yes. I should get me some of those.
What, some CGI muscles?
Something along those lines, yeah.
So, now we're going to talk Ancients Gaming.
Yeah.
Something that was very popular in 70s and 80s, possibly before a lot of our audience was born.
Yeah.
Then went away.
Yeah.
Then came back.
It did.
Then went away again.
Yeah.
And sort of seems to be coming back again.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, 300 is just one film, but, you know, when Gladiator came out, there's some good... Oh God, we'd better not go into Gladiators. But there's a big battle scene at the beginning of that.
There was a lot of barbarian versus Roman action.
Yes, Troy, which is another kind of BC chariots and handsome Greeks. King Arthur.
I was going to say any Charlton Heston epic.
Oh yeah, Ben Hur, The Road, and the list could go on. And as I say, any of the King Arthur iterations, whether it be the bad one with Richard Gere, the bad one with Ray Winston, Excalibur, which is kind of a bit more almost medieval, but
actually that is a very good movie for watching and going, blimey, that was his first movie. Blimey, that was his first movie.
Yeah,
it's got people like a very young 18-year-old Liam Neeson in it.
Yeah, and Jean-Luc Picard's in it as well.
Jean-Luc is in it.
Yeah.
And also it has the brilliant line, Anil Nadrach doth viendre. So.
It does indeed. So, yes, lots of inspiration out there, some of which are not perhaps kind of fully-fledged war films, if you like, but certainly have kind of ancient battles and ancient conflicts.
Yeah, I mean, even things like Troy and... things like that, you know, Greek heroes and
those sort of things. What's that one that came out, the Harryhausen remake? Titans.
Yeah.
Clash of the Titans and Wrath of the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, again, big battle scenes. You might not be fighting against monsters, but massed pikes and that sort of thing all fit together.
Yeah.
I quite like Ancients. It's one of those games where, depending on the rule set you pick, you're again playing, as we were talking about with the World War II stuff, you can be playing from a squad or a couple of small units up to a massed battle, depending on what scales you put together and how you want to game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's true a lot of when you branch out into the sort of some of the historical settings is there's a lot more variation and scope for variation in scale and in kind of the size of the game. And to pick two extreme examples from Saga, where you're kind of commanding a small warband of potentially only 30 men, down to things like Warhammer Ancients, War and Conquest, and the Polymos rule set, that the Ancients version, where you know you are commanding legions of troops in kind of a much smaller scale.
And again, it flows. I mean, and scales, as you say, flow massively. So, I think certainly in the UK, the best known 6mm manufacturer is Backus.
Yep.
Who have a massive range of 6mm. And you think that 6mm, it's just going to be little blobs of metal, but you can get an amazing amount of detail. If you're a good sculptor, you can get an amazing amount of detail in at 6mm.
Yeah, and certainly the stuff that Pete Berry at Backus produces in 6mm is absolutely sublime. I've had several of his different historical ranges, and when on a figure that is 6mm high, you can paint, you know, crossed belts and... and weapon accoutrements and stuff like that, should you desire to, of course, if you are that anal, to do that on a 6mm figure when some manufacturers struggle to do it on a 28mm figure. It's, yes. It's just a testament to the quality of those miniatures.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose one of the things that is important to talk about with Ancients gaming, that for a lot of the mass battle game systems, the scale of the model actually doesn't matter.
No.
It's much more to do with the basing that you've put them on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even though it may not be written as such in the rules, there is always scope for interpretation down to use smaller scale figures as long as the basing is common across the two armies that are facing each other.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly played 6mm versus 10mm in Ancients using the Warmaster Ancients rules.
Yeah.
The game worked perfectly. It, you know, the scale differential didn't matter at all.
No. I mean, if you can get over that sort of aesthetic hump, within the rules mechanics, it doesn't matter one jot once the basing is of the same size.
Yeah. So, popular Ancients rule sets. The ones that I've played, Warhammer Ancients.
Yeah.
Was very popular for a good period of years.
Yeah, I mean, certainly through the sort of late 90s and through the sort of the 2000s was probably the kind of premier Ancients rule set that was most played by most people.
Yeah, generated a big tournament scene and was play tested by some excellent people.
So I assume that includes you.
Yeah. and our friend Conrad, of course.
Yeah.
Who is the only person I know who's had his name errated in a rule book. Because okay. in the Armies of Antiquity supplement for Warhammer Ancients, his name is at the front and it's spelt wrong. So there was an errata published that says Conrad blah, 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 should be as Conrad E.J. Gonsalves.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. But yes, so Warhammer Ancients, very much the same mechanisms anyone who's played Warhammer will be aware of, with that same stat line with, you know, ballistic skill, weapon skill, strength, toughness, initiative and attacks, and a series of period-specific codices, for want of a better term, covering everything really from kind of biblical or pre-biblical chariots all the way up now to, I think, Armies of Chivalry is probably the latest that you could arguably say fits into the Ancients world. I haven't played the Warhammer Ancient Battles 2, and I know there was some came out about it.
I didn't play that either.
But I'm assuming there wasn't any quantum leap given the mechanics that were already embedded for that system. So I couldn't see that there'd be any massive changes in the mechanics of the rules.
Yeah. Again, I mean, it's an eBay job for these now.
Yeah.
But it is a good rule set. It works well. The mechanics are easy to pick up. And so if you're introducing someone to Ancients and you want to go down the mass battle route, then it can be a good system to use.
Yeah, particularly if they're coming away from that kind of the Games Workshop Warhammer Fantasy stable. It's a really easy walk-in for them.
Yeah. The other system that's similar, inspired by, I think, is probably a fair comment, which is hardly surprising given the people behind, is War and Conquest from Scarab Games. Scarab Miniatures, I think, is the official. Which is run by Rob Broom, who for ages was the head honcho at Warhammer Historical.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know certainly it's one that Conrad sings the praises of as a rule set. I've not played, but recently I have been looking at it as a potential Ancients way to go.
It's a good rule set. It's very similar to a Warhammer type set. You know, the methodologies and the ideas are very similar.
Mm.
There's some changes in the control mechanics and some changes in the sort of the fleeing mechanics and things.
Yeah.
But overall, if you've played a game of Warhammer, then it's one of those games that you're going to pick up very, very quickly.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the stable of people that used to be in Games Workshop or Warhammer, another set is Hail Caesar, which is published by Warlord Games, and it's kind of out of the Black Powder stable. It's the Ancients version of that. I believe if not written by, at least co-written by Rick Priestley.
Yep.
I've got these. I've not played Hail Caesar, but I have played Black Powder, which and it shares many mechanisms with. Definitely a development out of Rick's Warmaster kind of rules. And I know we had Warmaster Ancients, which were a direct port, much as Warhammer Ancients was of Warhammer Fantasy. Warmaster Ancients was the equivalent for the smaller scales. Hail Caesar, very good rule set. Has that variable command mechanism that I've talked about previously, where you can get units will do multiple moves, and it gets harder to do so. So there is a real need to think about where you're moving your commanders within your army, because they have a command range that allows you to do things like flank charges and flank moves to try and outmaneuver your opponent. Nicely produced, as are all of the kind of the rules come out of Warlords, hard copy, full color, and not a bad price really for what you're getting. And they do have some army books that have come out since as well, covering some of the barbarian tribes and the Romans.
Okay. The other one that I see people playing is Impetus, but I haven't actually played that myself.
I have played Impetus. Impetus is a rule set that came out of Italy and were translated in. You can't buy them electronically, but you can directly from the manufacturer, and they are nicely produced. I think they're spiral bound now, although the ones that I've got are kind of staple bound with a card cover. Some interesting and different mechanics. Your units are kind of based on quite a big base. Now, I like that, particularly where we were talking earlier about potentially using smaller scales for the rules, where you've established like a 28 mil base size, which I think is about 100 mil wide by 60 mil depth. You can really go to town on a modelling front to actually make that almost a, every unit becomes a mini diorama or a mini vignette, if you like, of figures.
Right.
But I would recommend the rules. I do have them, so we can have a trot out with them at some point if you like. Have released, I think they're up to 4 supplements now, giving lots of army lists. But they are very well supported online as well with some army lists, and have quite a good following now.
Cool. And I suppose the other big massive the big battle game.
Yeah.
Is the Crusties.
Yeah.
And WRG, DBM, and DBA.
Yes, the aforementioned Aaron Sweater, beard, did real ale drinking, yes, pipe smoker types. I mean, they're old school, certainly DBM and DBA, written by Peter Barker, who has an interesting ability to use the English language in a way to confuse and befuddle. but I'm actually quite a fan of the DBA rule set. It's kind of 12 units, very simplistic and abstract rules, but you play a game in kind of 45 minutes.
See, I think that's what I don't like about them is the abstraction.
Yeah.
But it is incredibly popular.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's probably the biggest competition played set of rules of all time.
If you go to something like BritCon, then there is a lot of people playing these games.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few issues. I mean, for me, the abstraction isn't too bad. It allows some quick games. I don't like the way they're written, or playing them the way they're written, which is in 15 mil, where kind of 4 figures represents a whole pike block. For me, that, you know, and I've spoken many times before, there's a certain aesthetic I like. And for me, that doesn't work. So I've played them with 6 mil figures on the 25 mil basing, and that's actually looked and played out really nicely. But within that competition setting, because they cover, again, everything from biblical chariot racing up to almost mid to late medieval, on a table at a competition, you could watch Hebrew chariot army playing a First Crusade army. And for me, that doesn't quite sit comfortably.
Yeah, and that's a common problem with historical tournaments, isn't it? Is that people want to play, and because the Ancients period covers everything from 2000 BC to about 1100 AD, you do get chariots versus Normans.
Yeah.
you know, the ahistorical game. I suppose that's it really for the mass battle ones, at least the ones I know. And then at the other end of the scale, you have things like Saga.
Yeah.
Which is a much more defined time period. I mean, basically Dark Ages.
At the moment.
at the moment there is a new version. There is a new version supposedly coming at Salute.
Yeah.
I don't think they've officially announced that it's coming at Salute, but everyone says it's coming at Salute.
Yeah.
It's from Gripping Beast, but it's actually out of a French studio.
Yeah, Studio Tomahawk.
Yeah. It has a very different mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing much smaller sizes of units. I think actually in a typical 6-point game, you could have there's four hearth guards, so
yeah, I mean, it's 20
odd models.
I think the lowest is about 24 models, and it can go up to a maximum of, I want to say 72, but it might be 90 if you took levies for everything.
If you just took all levies, yeah. There's only three classes of troop. There's hearth guard, there's troops, and there's levies, and you have your warlord, and it uses a very interesting battle board mechanic. And that's what gives each army its flavor, because obviously, if you look at Dark Ages, it's beardy men with spears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everybody is a beardy man with a spear, or apart unless you're a peasant, in which case you might have a sling or a bow.
Yeah, yeah, beardy men with spears. You know, a fun Friday night in Norway, but perhaps not so much fun on the war games table. But yeah, I mean, the battle board mechanic is. It's probably the most innovative mechanic I've seen in kind of 20 years of historical gaming, and makes a brilliant game of it.
Yeah, I think we should do another episode just on Saga.
Yeah, you're probably right. It certainly warrants it.
Yeah, and our timer has gone.
All right. Okay, that was quick.
Yeah. So hopefully that's a little flavour of historicals, and if there is something that you want us to. You know, touch on more or talk about in more depth, then feel free to email. I always say all the contact information at the end.
Yeah. Or if there's a film that's inspired you, then do the same and we'll do our best to find a way to wargame it for you.
Yeah. So, I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.